Acts chapter 12, begin to read at verse 20. But this section that we're covering this morning begins actually in Acts chapter 11 and verse 19 and runs right through to the end of our reading this morning. So just if you have a Bible, open your Bible to Acts chapter 11 and we'll just quickly, very briefly, just have a look at what's going on before we get to our reading in chapter 12 and verse 20. So as you see in verse 19 of chapter 11, the church spreads because of persecution, and news of the gospel just spreads through Greeks, and Greeks receive the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see the church in Antioch and how Barnabas and the apostle Paul are there encouraging the disciples, and it's at that point that the disciples are first called Christians. Then as we move into chapter 12, we see that King Herod has James put to death, and then we see Peter's miraculous escape from prison, which brings us to our reading. So we're going to read Acts chapter 12. We're actually on the screen, it starts in verse 20, but I'm going to read the last half of verse 19, but then it will follow on the screen. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his robe, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. This morning, I'd like you to use your imagination. Imagine right now you're hooked up to a machine. And this machine, perhaps there's a clip on your finger or something, represents those ones you see in the hospital, those that monitor a heart rate. I'm sure you all know the ones I'm talking about. But this machine is not measuring the well-being of your heart. It's actually measuring your desires and your affections and your passions. So specifically, it's recording what your affections are hungering after. And after I say a specific word or phrase, I want you to imagine what your machine is reading. So is it going beep, 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 which is quite an intense desire, or actually is it going just beep, 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 which is obviously, use your imagination, is quite a low desire. So are we ready? You're hooked up to your machine. First one. Finding a bag with 10 grand cash in it and being told by the police that you can keep it. So imagine, what's your machine doing now? Perhaps beep, 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 maybe even faster. I don't know. How does that make you feel? If there's a lot of beeping going on, I guess that shows that material stuff is quite important to us, matters quite a lot to us. Okay, how about this? Stepping on the weighing scale and seeing you've lost a stone. Beep, 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 maybe faster, I don't know. Okay, one more. This is the serious one. Giving praise and glory to God. What does that do to your affections? What's happening to that monitor? What noise is being made? What excites you? What drives you? What is it that you're seeking to pursue? This passage tells us, the one that we read, tells us about a man who hadn't got any concern whatsoever about giving praise to God. This man didn't give any glory to God, and we actually see the consequences of him refusing to give glory to God. And what we're going to see this morning, and what we do see in this passage, is that it is vitally important. It's no trivial thing. It is a huge thing. It is an essential thing. Giving praise and glory to God in our lives. Once upon a time, in a land far away, there was a town. And this town was in the mountains. It was quite isolated. It was on its own. It was quite a traditional place, almost frozen in time compared to all the big cities. But unfortunately, this town was in quite a bit of debt and owed quite a lot of money. So as a result, someone from the big city who was unfamiliar with small town living was sent by the government to try and ensure that this small town could operate within its financial limits. So this man looked at all the expenditure and he started to think about whose job he could axe. He looked around the town and he spoke to different people and he managed to trim some here and there, but the town was still spending too much money. Finally, he came to an expenditure for a man that he had never met. He asked the people what this expenditure was for and who this man was, but nobody really knew. It was all pretty vague. Finally, someone said it's something to do with a man who clears up some leaves or something. Now, it seemed obvious to this official that that was the man's job to cut. It seemed totally obvious. If he cut that man's job, the town could now function in the black instead of in the red. So the payment was stopped. That man lost his job. He stopped working. But before long, everyone in the town began to get sick. Everyone. Nobody could understand why. Everyone was getting ill and everyone had the same symptoms. But then someone remembered a similar situation that had affected the town many, many years ago. They searched the archives and they managed to find about something that had happened in their history. A time when many people had died. At that time, some research took place, and the research pointed to the fact that leaves were contaminating the water supply. And so a man was employed to clear the leaves to make sure that the reservoir never got contaminated again. The town folk had employed a man who lived in the valley to clear up those leaves to ensure nobody got sick. I wonder if you see the point of the parable. It's easy to see things that are essential as surplus to requirement. Failure to do the essential can have detrimental results. Now, what about bringing praise to God? Is it not a big deal? Is it not essential? Is it just a chore, something that we are commanded to do? Well, let's let these verses speak for themselves. Chapter 12, verse 21 again. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. Giving glory to God is no small thing. That account stands in history as a memorial that anyone who would look, anyone who would read, that giving praise to God is essential. I wonder this morning, what's your heart like? That monitor, what was it reading? Is this morning your heart sick towards God? If so, let's pray that this passage would breathe life. God would breathe life through this passage into our lifeless hearts. We're going to look at three reasons from the section that we're covering this morning why God is deserving of our praise. God is amazing. We see in this passage that he uses persecution for his own purpose. Just turn back to chapter 11 and verse 19. Last year, at the end of the year, we had a report from Mike Wagener from SASRA. And SASRA is an organization that seeks to share the Bible amongst the armed forces. And Mike Wagener told us about a specific situation where a high-ranking army official had become a Christian. And this high-ranking army official went to a particular SASRA meeting And the result was there was a wonderful opportunity for the armed forces to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thrilled to hear how God was working behind the scenes to bring about his purposes, to make sure the gospel came to unlikely places and in unlikely ways. But we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus promised that he would build his church. Well, we see this happening also in the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 11, verse 19, you will see that there is a persecution. And because of the persecution, people, believers, are traveling. There are some places they're traveling to, and Antioch, of course, is included in them. And as people are traveling, more people are hearing about the gospel. And as a result, verse 21, it says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So because of persecution, the gospel has spread, and more people are hearing and believing the message of the gospel. Now, the question I asked was, why did Luke write this down for us? Well, Luke wrote it down for us because it happened. That's true. I had a coffee this morning. I don't think anyone's going to write that down, even though that happened. Why is Luke specifically recorded this account for us? Well, if you have a Bible, please do turn with it to the beginning of Luke. As you'll know, Luke wrote both Luke and also Acts, which is the sequel or follows on from the book of Luke. And right at the beginning of Luke in chapter 1, he tells us why he's writing the Gospel of Luke, and also that follows into why he wrote Acts as well. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, Luke writes this: many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also for me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So Luke's purpose, do you see this in those opening verses in Luke's gospel? The purpose of Luke and also the sequel Acts is to give this person called Theophilus certainty of what he's been taught. It's to show him what's been fulfilled in those days and to let him know, let him have confidence that he can believe what's been happening around him. And that's also true of us. Acts is explaining to us and giving us certainty of what the Lord Jesus has begun to do and continues to do by his Spirit through the church. So when we read Acts chapter 11, verse 19, and those verses, it has something to do with us. Because persecution happened in Jerusalem, the gospel began to spread. And it didn't stop in Antioch, it continued to spread right around the world. Without that early persecution, the early disciples would have remained in Jerusalem. But because of that persecution, the gospel spread and it impacted non-Jews. The church grew. So Luke is giving us confidence that what we see around the world happening, how the church is growing, is exactly what the Lord Jesus is continuing to do. Luke tells us it spread because of persecution. And Luke knows that because he's spoken to eyewitnesses. Now, how does that help us this morning to give praise and glory to God? Well, it's amazing, isn't it, that God uses people who oppose him for his own purposes. On Bonfire Night last year, I'm sure you'll remember some firework displays and perhaps fires in your area. I remember that night quite well because it was a Thursday night and people were setting fireworks off pretty randomly on the heath, quite close to our window. Well, not terribly close, but they were setting fireworks off. And the police were there in their riot vans and the young people were setting off fireworks, it looked like out of their hands, and sort of throwing them around. And then they would run to somewhere else. So it was dark, the police would see smoke, go there. By the time the police had got there, the young people were somewhere else, continuing to set fireworks off. The police were being opposed. It was making their life difficult. I'm pretty sure they finally succeeded, even though they were opposed. But when people oppose God, even though they do everything to try and silence the gospel, God is so big, God is so glorious, that his plans are not derailed. Quite the opposite. Even sinful actions used to serve his purposes, even those who are persecuting the church, actually serve to the gospel being spread. I'm glad, in one sense, that persecution broke out in Jerusalem, because without it, the gospel wouldn't have spread. You and me could quite well be still outside of the kingdom of God. Now, it's easy for us to see circumstances and get really downbeat. But we can praise God because God is bigger than all that. God is a God who even uses opposition for his purposes. God is truly glorious. Next reason in this passage that we can praise God, not only does he use persecution for his own purposes, but look what happens in Acts chapter 12. God rescues Peter. Isn't it remarkable? But we can also praise God because he doesn't rescue James. Let me explain. This is a remarkable set of accounts. In chapter 12, a key character, King Herod, is persecuting the church. And you'll notice in the opening verses, in verse 2 of chapter 12, he has James arrested and he puts him to death. Now, the Jews like that. So as a result, Herod has Peter arrested as well. And the intention is to have a public trial after Passover. And of course, we can imagine how the trial would go. It will end up in the death of Peter as well. But the church of God is praying. And God sends an angel who wakes Peter up and walks him right out of the prison. Now you can see this in verse 11. Peter himself has been released from prison, yet he doesn't quite believe it. He thinks he's just seen a vision. The church, who is praying for Peter to be released, don't quite believe it's Peter. They think it's just, you know, something weird going on. They don't believe that God will actually do it. But God is amazing and just walks him right out of the prison. God came to the rescue of Peter, and Peter is saved. Isn't that incredible? That God can do that. But what makes this account truly remarkable is the event we've just mentioned, chapter 12, verse 2. Herod had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Now, I find that really incredible because God quite clearly has the power and the means to ensure that James isn't killed, doesn't he? He's just sent an angel. We see him sending an angel to rescue Peter. Peter walks free. In the same way, God could have resulted in James walking free. But James doesn't walk free. Right through history, we see time after time how God has come to the rescue of countless believers. Perhaps through making someone better, perhaps through a miracle, perhaps through a guard not checking a boot, perhaps a king making a particular decree, perhaps an angel being sent to hell. We could think of many testimonies, and God is to be praised for that. But we must also praise God that James wasn't spared. How can we do that? Let me explain. Even if we don't understand something, we must praise God that his bigger purposes are achieving something greater. And if we ever need clarity of that, we must look to the cross. Because at the cross, we see something we don't understand. Jesus being killed. But yet it's the most glorious thing because it results in the salvation of the world. Let me ask you some questions. How would you feel if you saw somebody who was guilty of murder being given the death penalty? Now, you will probably, although it's kind of a horrible thing, you would probably understand that it was needed. How would you feel if you heard of a family member receiving the death penalty for something they were guilty of. You would feel terrible, wouldn't you? But you would probably understand the need for justice. Now think about God. How do you think God felt seeing his own son, who was innocent, being ill-treated by his enemies? Now, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son is more special and more precious than any other relationship that exists. How do you think God the Father felt as he watched Jesus, who is totally innocent, being mistreated? How do you think God felt as the nails were pounded in? Now, in one sense, we know that Jesus was made sin, so God could do that. But in another sense, God did not spare his own son, and that is remarkable. Why not? Because he could see the bigger picture. God knew his plan of salvation. His wisdom goes beyond our thinking, beyond our rationale. He allowed it to happen. He planned for it to happen for the fame of his name, for his praise, for love. And perhaps we can't fathom that, but we see on that dark day God doing something which achieves just so much. That teaches us something about God. We can praise him when people like James aren't spared, because we know from looking to the cross that he is doing something bigger. He's doing something better, even though we don't understand it. We can praise him because he's wise. And of course, there are a couple of very familiar illustrations. One is of the tapestry. On the back, it just looks a complete mess, doesn't it? But when you turn it round, you see the beauty. Or perhaps if you look at a picture and you get really close to it, it might feel or look like a dark smudge. But when you move back, you see the picture in all its glory and all its beauty. But for you, when you're at the dark smudge, it just seems very dark and very bad. And in the same way, God, he stands outside of time and he sees the big picture and the beauty of it all. And he allows things to happen for the praise of his name. But finally, we can praise God because he struck Herod down. But he doesn't strike you and me down. Isn't the end of chapter 12 of Acts absolutely remarkable? Herod is seated on his throne in royal robes. People are praising him. He's acting like a god. And Herod doesn't acknowledge the one true God. He takes the praise for himself. And what happens? He's struck down by God and eaten by worms. Isn't it a sober reminder that giving praise to God is no small thing? It's not a trivial optional extra. Giving praise to God is a total necessity. Herod acted like God and didn't give praise to God and was judged as a result. Do you realize every time you sin and every time I sin, I'm acting like God? You're acting like God. What is sin? Well, God has told us in the Bible how to live. If we ignore that, we're saying we know better than God. If we don't do what he says, which is a reflection of his character, we are saying, God, I don't want to be like you. Or I think you are wrong. That is to be God. It's to say, I know better than you. I don't want to be like you. Every lie is saying, I know better than God. Every indulgence in lust is, I don't want to be like you, God. Every neglect of a spiritual discipline, of Bible reading or prayer, meeting with God's people, is wrong. And all that is to say, I am better than God. I know more than God. I want to be in the place of God. When Herod did that on a grand scale, on a very public scale, God struck him down. And he was eaten by worms. That is a reminder that all those who refuse to give God praise will be eternally struck down. But we should give praise to God. That even though that is what we deserve, Jesus was struck down in our place. Isn't it amazing that people like you and people like me, although at a heart level are very much like Herod's, even though we're like that, we are made because of the Lord Jesus Christ into his sons. Herod was sat there in royal robes of his own making. We are given royal robes. We are made into sons and daughters of the Most High God. But God doesn't do that by just turning a blind eye, does he? Of course not. He doesn't do it by turning a blind eye to our sin. Our sin is properly dealt with. Can I ask you, as we conclude, where are you at with all this? Giving glory and praise to God. Is it something that's even resonating in your heart? There was recently an article, it was the end of last year, an article about a man who had a rare sort of cancer, and he was given just 2 months left to live. I assume he's now died. And this man was a massive Star Wars fan. And somehow he managed to get a preview of the Star Wars film that's now being released. He managed to get a preview ahead of time because he probably wasn't going to make it till it was released. Incredible. He was going to die, and all he wanted to do was watch a film. Can I reveal to you, I think that probably tells us what was important to that man. Can I tell you, that probably suggests what he loves. This is what he said. I love Star Wars with everything I got. I love Star Wars. If you had 2 months left to live, what would be on your agenda? What would you pursue? Because what you're thinking of and what you would pursue shows what's important to you. Shows probably what's most important to you. We are created for the praise and glory of God. That's what we're made for. It's what we're designed to do. Refusing to do that results in judgment. I hope we all today are gladly choosing to make much of the Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to everlasting blessing and joy. One simple application. If you are in awe of God, if you love him, if you want to praise him, then this year in 2016, make it your priority to spend time with him each day. Get to know him more in the Bible. Make it your priority to learn more about him with like-minded people here at church. Are they your priorities? Or are you really, really spiritually sick? May God be pleased for the praise of his name to stir up our affections this year, to give us hearts that truly love him and want to bring him glory. Let's bow our heads and let's make that our prayer before we sing our final song. Father, would you forgive us? We sang earlier that children's song that spoke of our hearts that are held fast by sin. And Father, would you just forgive us when all this giving praise and glory to God just seems abstract and seems non-essential and seems like a chore when everything else, television, sport, leisure, all those things seem a massive deal to us. Father, would you come and just strengthen our hearts and help us to be people who have right priorities, right desires, right affections. Would you save us from being people who know a lot about you only? Help us to be people that, yes, know a lot about you, but have hearts that burn for you. Would you do that in our lives by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.